First reading for the fifth Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 11. Now the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them." But Peter began and explained it to them in order. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, something like a great sheet descending, being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to me. Looking at it closely, I observed animals and beasts of prey, and reptiles and birds of the air, and I heard a voice saying to me, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But the voice answered a second time from heaven, 'What God has made clean, do not call common.' This happened three times, and all was drawn up into heaven. And behold, at that very moment, three men arrived at the house in which we were, sent to me from Caesarea, and the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen the angel stand in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all your household.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them, just as on us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard these things, they fell silent, and they glorified God, saying, "Then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from the Revelation to St. John chapter 21. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away.' And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' Also he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son.' This is the word of the Lord."
The Holy Gospel is according to St. John, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. A little while, and you will see me no longer. And again, a little while, and you will see me." So some of the disciples said to one another, "What is this that he says to us? 'A little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me,' and 'because I am going to the Father.' So they were saying, 'What does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about.' Jesus knew they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, 'Is this what you are asking yourselves? What I meant by saying, a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers anguish, for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the first lesson that we read this morning from Acts chapter 11. Back in the 60s, when the Haight-Ashbury area in San Francisco resorted back to high rent, the hippies left. They went down to Santa Cruz. Now, Santa Cruz wasn't quite ready for a hippie invasion. But the hippies grew up, married, had children, not necessarily in that order. But they named their kids rather strange things, like the teachers had to get used to a kid named Frisbee, or Time Warp, or Spring Fever, and yes, even Moonbeam, Earth, Love, and Precious Promise. Teachers had to get used to names that weren't John and Mary. So this one little boy came very first day of school, and the parents had written the names of the child on the inside of their jacket on the tag. So she looked at the tag, and it said Fruit Stand. So she asked Fruit Stand which desk he wanted, and he didn't really answer. And throughout the day, she'd say, Fruit Stand, do you want to play with this? Fruit Stand, can you help me with this? And the little boy just sort of stood there looking at her. But she's figured it's the first day of school. The little boy is shy. Then it came time to put him on the buses. So she said, Fruit Stand, what bus do you get on? And he didn't answer her. Well, on the other side of the tag, the name was on one side, the bus stop was listed on the back side of the tag. So she looked at the other side of the tag and it said Anthony. A group of people made some bad assumptions in our lesson for today. They believed that because they were Jews, they were the only ones that could have a relationship with Jesus. And Peter sets them straight in our lesson. At this point, the church is growing steadily. But the church has been persecuted right from the beginning, first by the Jews themselves, but then by the Romans. The Samaritans had been saved when the disciple Philip went and preached to them, and Peter went to the towns of Lydia and Joppa. These were Gentile towns to preach there. And in our lesson, he ends up going to the home of a Roman centurion. The church in Jerusalem was not happy. Peter, why are you taking the gospel to Gentiles? Kind of reminds me of people who say, we've always done it this way, and they threaten every move of God when it breaks out. People like to put God in a box, but God doesn't stay in a box very well. Dr. Helen Rosevere, missionary to Zaire, trying to say that one 10 times fast, tells this story that a young mother died in childbirth and gave birth to a premature child. So they had to rig up an incubator for this newborn infant. But the hot water bottle that they needed was broken. So the missionary asked the children in the school to pray for the baby. So one little girl prayed to the baby, Dear God, please send a hot water bottle today. Tomorrow will be too late because by then the baby will be dead. And dear Lord, send a doll for the sister so she won't feel so lonely. Later that afternoon, a package arrived from England. And guess what was in the package? A hot water bottle. So the little girl was excited and she was digging through the box because surely the Lord had also sent a doll for the sister. And guess what she found near the bottom of the box? A doll. God had moved 5 months before when Ladies Guild in a church was putting together this box to include a hot water bottle and a doll. 5 months earlier, God had moved. God cannot be put into a box. Peter arrives in Jerusalem and he expects that they're going to be happy that he's taken the gospel to the Gentiles, but that's not the case. It says in verses 1 to 3, "Now the apostles and brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision contended with him, saying, 'You went in to uncircumcised men and ate with them.'" To the Jew, there's two kinds of people, a Jew and a Gentile. They forgot the words of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 42. "I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from prison's home." Tradition has it that when a Jewish man used to get up in the morning, he would thank God that he was not born a slave, a Gentile, or a woman. Hey, I didn't pray that. So ladies, don't get mad at me for that one. In fact, they hated the Gentiles so much that they would not help a Gentile woman who was in labor. In one of their commentaries, it says, "The dwelling places of Gentiles are ritually unclean." Now get this, "Jews may not remain alone with the Gentiles, leave cattle at their inns, assist them in childbirth, suckle their children, do business with them when they are traveling to idolatrous festivals, drink their milk or vinegar or wine, or eat their bread or oil or pickled vegetables, or their cooked food." That gives you an idea of their opinion of the Gentiles. So Peter's expecting that they're going to be joyful that he's taken the gospel to the Gentiles, and the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem are furious. It's interesting that they already knew what Peter had done before Peter arrived. This, of course, is in the era before telephones and the internet. See how fast the word travels? They must have told a woman. That's how it traveled so quick. Oh, come on, people. Wasn't that bad. Anyway, the apostles in the church were angry with Peter because they believed that the gospel was not for Gentiles, and Peter points out how wrong they were. Peter ate with them and also shared the gospel with them. Peter explains his actions. "But Peter explained it to them in order from the beginning, saying, 'I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, an object descending like a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came to me. When I observed it intently and considered, I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'No, so Lord, for nothing common or unclean has at any time entered my mouth.' But the voice again from heaven said, 'What God has cleansed, you must not call common.' Now this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven." Peter goes on to explain more what had happened. He relates the full story again to them, and he wanted to show the hand of God at work in his missionary work. There's a story that an elderly woman was on a cruise ship, and she was feeling seasick, so she sat down on one of the deck chairs, leaned back. And of course, what do you do when you're sitting in a chair and the weather's warm? You sleep. Come on. She fell asleep in the chair. She fell asleep with her hands opened up in front of her. This agnostic came by. He had a couple of oranges from breakfast. And he saw the outstretched hands like that. He goes, "This would be too much fun." So he put an orange in each one of her hands. He comes back a little later and the woman has now woken up and she's happily eating one of the oranges. And he says, "You're enjoying the oranges?" She said, "Oh yes, I was seasick and I was praying to God for oranges and my Father in heaven is good to me." The guy had done it as a joke, but the hand of God was present in there. If the story is true, it says he later converted to Christ. And by the way, that's also a good illustration for when we pray to God and it's according to his will, he will answer it. Now, Peter has had this vision. It's recorded in the book of Acts. Then Peter relates the same story to the church in Jerusalem, taking up a lot of print space, if I was to read it all to you. Why would Luke record the events twice? He could have just said, and Peter related to the apostles and the church in Jerusalem what had happened to him in Joppa. He easily could have done that, but he completely repeats the story. A scroll at this time can be no longer than 35 feet. Can you imagine a scroll 35 feet? That's the size of the book of Acts, Romans, or one of the longer books of the New Testament. But Luke used up valuable space to record this story twice in the book of Acts to show how important it was. God wants us to understand the significance of it. There were clear directions to go to the Gentiles. And it says the Holy Spirit fell on the Gentiles as it had done on the apostles at Pentecost. Lesson to be learned, we should never limit those who God calls into his flock. By the way, in the city of Antioch, where Peter had also traveled, is where it says believers were first known as Christians. Do you know what the title Christians means? Little Jesus people. It was originally meant as an insult. But we adopted it to describe who we follow. Well, I like that. Little Jesus people. In verses 27 to 30, it says, in those days the prophet came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them named Arabus stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. And this they did also, and sent it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. Peter has taken the gospel lesson to the Gentiles. And in the city of Antioch, the church was growing. Antioch was the third largest city in the Roman Empire at that time. But the church is growing in Antioch because of what Peter did. Now, we do not do good things expecting something in return, but every now and again it happens. You do a good deed and you get something back better. Well, there was a famine in Jerusalem at the time, and the people of Antioch gathered up their savings and sent it to the people in Jerusalem. Now think of the irony there. The people in Jerusalem were originally angry that the Gentiles got the gospel lesson, but then it's the Gentile Christians who bailed out the Jewish Christians when they were in need. Their first thought was to help others. There was no arm twisting. There was no giving campaign. They reacted to the need. They entrusted the wealth to Barnabas and Saul to travel nearly 300 miles to the south. I'd like to close with a short story. Sam Rayburn was the Speaker of the House of Representatives for longer than any other man in our history, and I have no idea what party he is. It doesn't really matter for the story. But the story reveals what kind of a man he was. The teenage daughter of a friend of his passed away one evening. And the next morning, there was a ring at the doorbell of the family, and who's standing at the doorbell or at the door? Sam Rayburn. And he says to his friend, is there anything I can do? And the father says, no, there's nothing you can do. And Sam said, well, have you had breakfast yet? And the man says, no. So Sam let himself in, started making coffee and making breakfast for the family. Then the father of the deceased daughter comes up to him and says, weren't you supposed to have breakfast with the president this morning? And according to the story, he says, well, I called up the president and said I had a friend in need and I couldn't make it for breakfast. Grace is an attitude that should flow out of our lives as Christians. Sam Rayburn knew it, and so did the church at Antioch. And I want to leave us with one thought this morning. Be prepared to show God's grace to someone today. So let us go before Him now and seek Him. May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed.